We're talking to a guy who broke the state record for largest carp caught in Connecticut.
Ooh. Wow.
Rafal Vlaslo, good morning. Congratulations.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Morning. It's the only time I'm going to get your name right.
Yeah, just so you know.
practicing during the break.
Like 5 minutes. At least.
This was no accident. Correct?
No, it wasn't. This was a targeted fish.
Nice.
Well, a targeted record, to be precise.
Right.
Fish was to be determined, but yes, the record was targeted for sure.
When did you think, you know, I'd like to catch the biggest carp ever caught?
So it started a few years ago when I really started targeting carp in Connecticut waters, from the lakes to the Connecticut River. And I thought to myself, you know what, I'm going to focus on the waters that have the bigger potential and that I can fish probably around the clock. And early last year is when the idea really was shaped, early last spring, a year ago. And I decided to give it a proper go this year, this time around. And I started in early April. April 1st, I was on the water. And it was almost round-the-clock fishing up until the record was caught with few breaks in between. But yes, it was grueling.
So you said to yourself, you know, Rafal, I can catch the largest fish.
Right. It's massive.
Either that or I said to myself, you know what? I'm going to be miserable for the next couple of months to come. Okay. I will be just by myself on the water. You know, me, myself, and I will see if I can do it. Most likely not.
It was all three of you.
Statistically speaking.
Right. All three of you.
But I will give it a proper go.
What do you use for bait?
So, right. I own carpangler.com.
Oh.
That's a carp tackle brand.
This is the greatest viral moment for your brand ever.
Moment of advertising.
Look, what better method of validation for the bait that we are exclusively making and selling than catching a record carp in our local waters,
exactly
right?
Exactly right.
So the bait of choice was a, what do we call a boilie? Imagine basically a
boilie. I had one on my ass once.
So, right, about that size too. It barely fits. Okay, 20 to 30 millimeter.
It's like a hemorrhoid, basically, yeah.
And it's really hard.
Yeah.
That's why it's called a boilie, because it's either boiled or steamed. And then it was topped off with something very special, a night glowing fake corn in white color, just to make it stick out at nighttime. And so that's what it was. And so it was the morning of the 25th, about 9 o'clock in the morning, and I got awoken, you know, with a couple of beeps on my fishing alarm. I ran to the rod. I pick it up. I set the hook, and you right away know that, oh, this ain't normal. And that was me at 9 o'clock in the morning. I get this slowly, lazy pull like a small catfish rather than a record-breaking carp.
I was alone with the carp.
I lift into it, expecting the usual nonsense, and instead, the rod folds, line tightens, and for a second, I genuinely thought I hooked the bottom. And then the bottom started moving.
It was so big, you thought you hooked Earth.
Oh, wow.
I think I got the planet on my line.
That's the biggest fish of the world right there.
Wow.
Everybody's hooked it at least once.
I have caught Beijing.
It was absolutely bonkers, guys. And then it wasn't fast. Not panicked. I'm talking about the fish pulling.
Yes.
No. It felt like deliberate. Like it had something, like it had somewhere to be, and I was just like a minor inconvenience. That's when my stomach dropped. That's what I knew. I didn't yell. There wasn't no excitement. There was no chaos, just silence. And just like the fishes, every one of my moment was calculated. That's when I knew it was the one. Okay, the one that ignored my bait for weeks.
Right.
Maybe even months, because what nobody knows is I spent the past 2 months practically on the water. That was not exactly the most successful 2 months of fishing, I would say. A vast majority of the days and nights were complete blanks with no fish to show. Okay. It was just sticking to the plan, trusting the process, delivering the bait in the right quantity so you don't overfeed it when the fish comes, but you also keep the bait there all the time.
I love you, by the way. I think I picture you dressed like Zorro.
Yeah.
I was just thinking he shoots the fish with a gun and a guitar case. Like, you don't even dare.
What a plan.
That's what I look like when I go to the swim.
That's awesome.
This guy's good.
No, it was absolutely epic. You know, that it was that it was spending that much time on the bank. You know, you're going to look like the guy from Castaway, right?
Right.
You know, like that. You're going to be made look like that one lunatic trying to make yourself on the bank about, you know, all about timing, the barometric pressure, you know. And now it was here, the fish, finally. You know, and suddenly it wasn't about just reeling a fish. It was about not screwing it up more than anything.
Right.
You know, and then at that point, I was on it for like 10 minutes. You know, rods bend like a boomerang. You know, they're really sounding like it's chewing the gravel. And then the fish is calm, too calm. It's like it's done it before. You know, let's see. It's like, you know, guys like this come and go. And I'm doing everything right, or at least trying, you know, but there's that voice in the back of your head all the time whispering, you're going to lose it, you're going to lose it. It's like an imposter syndrome.
There are the fish talking.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it was swinging left, swinging right, I follow.
The fish, right?
And it just stops. Yes. Midwater. Still, no tension, no movement. I freeze. I'm thinking, please don't say hook pull. Please, not today. Give a little bit of pressure, nothing. A little more, still nothing. Then, like some sick joke, the rod slams again down, boom, and it tears off in the opposite direction. Like it fakes its own death and it's just messing with me. It was absolutely insane what was happening over there. You know?
Yeah.
So you start whispering a lot of things, okay, to the carp gods that I'm not proud of. Okay, you're making promises that you know you have no intentions of keeping.
Oh, no, you've got to keep the promises or you'll never catch another big carp again.
You know,
and your bait will
I'm going to be a better person, but maybe I'm going to stop swearing at the bass fishermen passing by. You know,
get out of here, you trout person.
Dumb bass fishermen.
Oh, my God. Want to kick your bass? Special breed.
Yeah.
You know, so it was.
I didn't know there was a thing. It's
probably.
Like clowns and mimes. The carp and bass fishermen.
We were fighting the waiters.
You can come back in our next segment, Dumb Bass News.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You should have me as a guest. I'll give you a ton of stories. If not my own war stories, I've heard it all by now.
All right, Ruth will be in touch. She's going to ask you to come in studio. What do you think of bluefish?
Absolutely. Bluefish, I like it. I went fishing for bluefish, you know, a couple of seasons ago. Great eating, by the way.
Yeah. We have a tournament.
When it's smoked, they're awesome.
You'd be perfect for.
Look at you.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'll send you more info on that.
Absolutely.
Okay. So you finally pull this thing out of the water. And when it comes out of the water, does it look like Jaws when it's like just jumped on the boat?
Well, so this was, you know, I was probably 15 minutes in by the time I pulled it out, right? Wow. The arms are numb, knees are questionable at best, okay? It was getting closer, you know, just under the surface. I could see it, and I'm like, oh, shoot, this is it. This is precious.
Thanks for saying shoot.
By the way.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm like, nets out, praying to the gods that my handle holds, and boom, done. And then it was just silence, not a word. I didn't even celebrate, just sat down and stared into the distance.
Nice.
And that's when it hits you. You know, I sat there thinking, okay, but what the hell do I do now? Because there's the thing that nobody tells you. When you spend that much time chasing the fish, the one, you don't plan really for success. You just plan to fail.
Yeah.
And then you catch it. And then suddenly you're a guy holding a record. And you know what's wild? You finally catch the fish, all those sessions, all those blanks, those debates with yourself about the rigs, the depth, the moon phases, believe it or not, baiting patterns, and the bite comes on a slow catfish-like pull. No glory, no screaming alarm, just plop, thick, and a slow run. And that was the beauty of it. And I needed to have it settle for a couple of minutes before I called a couple of buddies nearby. One of them, actually, one of the previous record holders who was on hand 5 minutes away, which was really cool to have him actually come in and help properly weigh the fish. Because, you know, they make you, you cannot just weigh the fish and tell them that you caught it. Okay, you have to have a certified scale by the by the Connecticut DEP. Then it has to be a valid certification, which expires after a year.
Yeah, it's a whole deal.
Yeah.
You know what? The picture of you holding this fish,
yeah,
it doesn't look like it weighs just over 45 pounds. I mean, you look like you've held heavy fish before.
Yeah.
You're not like, oh. Right, like, I would have made, you know, you ever see someone play guitar and they're like, they're not really, you know, stressing themselves out, but they're making that face.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, I would have done
that.
That fish is so big.
There had to be a proper warm-up right before that.
Right.
One more question, then we got to let you go, but you got to come back in because you're a great storyteller, and now you hold the record for the largest carp caught in Connecticut.
Yes.
Did you let it go? Did you put it back in?
Oh, absolutely.
Nice.
Absolutely.
Very good.
We do this for the sport. So we release it hoping that somebody else's dream will be netted one day.
Oh, great.
Well, the dream's eating it.
You know? As long as they know she was mine first.
Okay.
Right, that's right.
You got seconds.
Rafal, thank you for coming on. Congratulations.
Yeah.
What a great story. Your bait clearly works.
Yes, it did.
And we'll get you back in here and we'll talk about the bluefish tournament.
Absolutely. You mean the carpangler.com bait. Got it.
That's right.
Yes.
We're linked up.
Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you,
brother.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.